So we're in the middle of a sermon series that we're calling A Simple Christmas. This is week number two. I'm curious, how are you doing with that? Has Christmas got out of control yet? Maybe it has. Last Sunday night we were home and Susie handed me our calendar, which is a dry erase marker board, and you can put the dates and all that. And she says, put all the church things on the calendar. So we put all the church things on the calendar, and as she came back to pick it up and put it in its place, I said, this doesn't look like a simple Christmas to me. Preachers worth their salt will say that, take a break, take it all in, take in the season, look at the lights, sit in front of a crackling fire. By the way, I don't have a crackling fireplace at the parsonage, but Vizio puts it on television, so I get to watch it. Watch Christmas movies, enjoy family time, have a little peace. That's what we hope for. But December moves so quickly. There are so many things on our calendars that it's hard to have this simple Christmas. I mean, it's living it out that's not so simple. I want Christmas to be special for my family. And I want Christmas to be special for you. And so that's the reason I've been thinking about how we can take all this in and not rush all the way past Christmas and say, where'd it go? What happened to it? A friend of mine shared with me a couple of years ago a message that he got on Facebook, in the Messenger app part of Facebook, where it's like a text message. It was written by a church member. A church member who had missed services the day before, but she took the time, probably 5 minutes, to write to him, and she said in 11 simple sentences, that's where I got the title for today. She wrote among, I'm not going to give you all 11, but she says, may you continue to hear and feel what God has in store for you. She wrote, may God continue to speak through you the words that God wants us to hear. He says it was like water being poured out on dry land, on a dry soul. Her last sentence was this one, Pastor, you are loved. I'm wondering this morning, can anybody use 11 simple sentences of encouragement? Am I the only one? Yeah, we could all use those words of encouragement. Think about it. Is there someone this Christmas season who really needs that? Who maybe for the first time is facing a Christmas table where someone's not going to be there that was there last year? That's going to happen at my house, right? I believe that 11 simple sentences, or even one simple sentence, a note of encouragement, a word is the greatest gift that you could ever give them. So if you believe in them, can you imagine that gift? Are y'all with me today? Yeah. On Sunday afternoons, I'm leading a Bible study entitled The Journey. It's a look at the characters in the Christmas story. Last week, we considered Mary's story, how the angel, the angel came to Mary and gave her the invitation to help the world know about Jesus. She knew it would be a challenge. She knew it would be dangerous. She knew people wouldn't believe her. She knew that she just needed one earthly person to stand by her. And that one person was Joseph. Can we look at his story this morning? Matthew records it. Luke focuses on Mary. Joseph isn't mentioned there. Matthew's gospel is the one who gives us Joseph, but he is the strong, silent type. He doesn't have a line in the Christmas play. By the way, if you want the Christmas story, you have to turn to Matthew and you have to turn to Luke. Mark begins with Jesus being 30 years old. And John's gospel begins in the heavens. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Joseph doesn't say a word in the Christmas story, but he's important. Joseph and Mary were engaged. Betrothed is the biblical word for that. It would have been a two-year engagement. It would have been arranged by their fathers, which is not as bad as we make it out to be, really. And so in that first year, Mary would have lived in her father's house. And then the second year, she would have moved to Joseph's house, and they would have been considered married. Don't miss this. Mary was still living in her father's house when the angel comes and visits her. Now, if this was modern day time, there would have been a wedding announcement in the Baxter Bulletin. There would have been news on KTLO, right? There would have been all kinds of news that was out. You would have gotten a save the date card for the wedding. You would have gone to a shower. The pastor would have been asked to preach and to officiate the service, the fellowship hall booked. Joseph had happily ever after on his heart and on his mind, right? He had hoped one day that he'd have a child, maybe a son who could help him in the carpentry business. And then comes Mary with the news, Joseph, I am pregnant. Now, he knows it's not his child. Her explanation seems far-fetched. An angel? The Messiah? Yeah. Joseph is struggling with this. Our lesson says that he was a righteous man. Well, what does that mean? That means that every time that the temple doors were open, Joseph was there. His parents took him. He listened to the Sunday school lessons. He paid attention during the sermons. He wasn't self-righteous. He was righteous, which meant that he tried to do the right thing all the time. If there was something that he faced, choir, he tried to ask God, what's the right thing for me to do right now? And now here he is with the news that Mary brings. And he had, in his opinion, a couple of options. Option number one was to tell Mary's sin for all the world to hear, and all of Mountain Home or all of Bethlehem or all of Nazareth. He could put it on Facebook. He could create a reel. He could go to the coffee shop and tell the guys. Can you believe what Mary did? That was one option. The second option is that he could dismiss her quietly. And that's what he was planning to do. Because I think he already loved her. I think he had already planned his life with her. I think he was already looking forward to their future. And I think he had trouble sleeping. Has anyone ever had trouble sleeping? I do sometimes, right? Finally, he fell asleep. And while he slept, an angel came to him in a dream. And now you need to know that in dreams, Bible dreams are really significant. And the angel says to Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Fast forward a few lines and you will see that Joseph thought there were two options. Turns out there was a third. The third was to take Mary home to be his wife, and that's what he did. Church, let me bring this a little closer to home. Let me mention two things I see in Joseph that I hope to see in you. Here's the first. Joseph tried his best to do what was right in everything that he faced. Amen? Y'all out there? He tried to do his best to do the right thing. You see, for him and for us, there's always a worldly opinion, what the world says we ought to do. There's a lot of gray area in this world, right? Those voices will ring in your ears if you allow them to. But there's another voice that calls out to you. And you get it in Sunday school lessons. You get it in sermons. It's another voice. Joseph would have heard that from the teachers in his synagogue. He would have heard that from those who taught him. He would have heard that over and over and over again in the lessons, in the sermons, in the classes, in the brothers and sisters that he met along the way, people he went to church with. So I hope you'll be like Joseph. When there's some big decision you have to make, I hope you will ask God, God, what do you want me to do? What's best? And you know what? An angel just might come and talk to you. Here's the second thing I want you to hear today. Joseph stood by Mary. He stood by Mary. He knew they were going to talk about her, and he said they're going to talk about us. He stood by Mary. Mary knew the truth, and Joseph knew the truth the entire time. I think we need to stand by the Marys in our lives. Amen? We need to stand by the ones who have been asked to do something big or even something small for God and to believe the very best about that situation instead of the worst. Shouldn't we be like Joseph? Shouldn't we tell others, I believe you, but not only that, I believe in you. The Bible says that the word for all this is that God would be with us, and that's what the word Emmanuel means. God is with you. So be like Joseph. Think about everything that you face. What's the right thing to do, God? What's the right thing to do? And then when you decide and you know what the right thing to do is, stand by those who stand for God. Now, I hope you won't get tired of this, but I'm going to invite you again to have a simple Christmas. It's not too late, because Jesus, here's the line I want to say to you. I want to invite you to have a simple Christmas so that Jesus simply can change your life. That's what this whole series is going to be talking about. Now, next Sunday, if you want to hear me preach, come to 9 o'clock. If you want to hear this great choir, come to 11 o'clock in this wonderful cantata that they've been working on for months. It's going to be a great day. I'll be talking about the shepherds. We'll be singing about Christmas.